Welcome to Locked On Cardinals. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock. Follow me on Twitter at Clancy's Corner. Follow Bo at Bob Brack. I want to start right now by saying thank you for people that reach out to us, letting us know that we do a good job. We got another one yesterday. And listen, I get more than Bo some, what the hell are you talking about? I mean, I appreciate that. Bo and I have conversations where one of us has to be right and one has to be astronomically wrong for this to work. And Bo's been a good sport being wrong so far. When it comes to the camaraderie that Bo and I have, this isn't an act. Like, we truly believe what we're saying. It's not like, hey, what stands do you want to take? Hey, who wants to be Skip Bayless today? That's not in the cards when we're, that's a pun, not in the cards when we're, you know, setting up what we're going to talk about on a specific podcast. This is completely organic. We're good friends, and we just a lot of times have rivaling opinions. So this is all real, organic, and we appreciate when people reach out. We had somebody else reach out yesterday, and you know, it feels good. We were in different rooms. We, you know, air high fives. We're like, you know what? It's hard to build a podcast with a team that's been bad for the last couple of years, and we're slowly starting to build it. And you know, it feels good.
Well said.
Thank you. I feel like that's the PSA.
I mean, you took a couple verbal jabs at me, and that's fine. I'll let them slide, and I'll kind of save it. I'll save my, I guess, rebuttal for when we actually get into the content today.
Oh, yeah, he comes off sweet, but he digs me at the most inopportune times when there's no room for it. So don't worry about that whatsoever. So we talked yesterday, we teased at the end of the podcast yesterday that there are a couple different factors that go into who the Cardinals draft at number one or if they were to trade down and draft somebody there. And it's not all just on the field stuff. It's splashiness, I guess you could say, sexiness, which is the name of the podcast. Is it something that the Cardinals need to take into account where it's putting people in the stands as well as performance on the field? Right. And this segued from Kyler Murray conversation, which kind of begs the question, would it benefit the Cardinals, at least initially, to draft Kyler Murray?
No, not at all.
And I agree.
Not at all. And I mean, especially when you look at all the mock drafts, and I know you're not a big proponent.
I'm not black and white about it, but I look at them.
Absolutely. There's some gray area. There's some nuance to it as far as you understand the profession of being a draft analyst, insider, mock drafter, whatever. To me, they serve a very important purpose as far as shedding light on prospects people otherwise wouldn't know. Yeah. Josh Allen would not be a guy that enters the conversation of their daily fan. If guys like, I got to give them credit, Mel Kiper or Todd McShay or Bucky Brooks or Daniel Jeremiah or Matt Miller, those guys doing the work, putting in the heavy lifting during the college football season, identifying these prospects, realizing whether or not what they're saying holds true to what the scouts think and what front offices believe. So what we were able to narrow down, right, is that there are probably a trio of realistic picks that are in the conversation for the Arizona Cardinals. And I think that that's kind of come down to two now.
Okay.
Don't you think? I think that we can weed Josh Allen out of the mix.
Yeah. And that's the point. The antithesis of what we're talking about.
Right. I mean, because my main point about the mock draft is most of what I've seen is, one, I've never seen a mock draft so far, even with all the hype from Kyler Murray, the Cardinals actually taking Kyler Murray.
Right.
And then Kyler Murray making his way sometimes into the top 10, but most of the time he's in the teens. And he's getting picked, you know, anywhere between 10 and 15. And I think that that's very important to take into consideration. He's not, like, if he was in last year's draft class, where would he be
we don't know because there's no measurables for him yet. Like, the combine, I think, is very important.
We've seen Kyler Murray play. He's not a guy that's under the radar.
I think he would have gone ahead of Josh Rosen.
I disagree with that.
I mean, it's with how much pub has happened so far.
I would say that is so far from the truth.
I'm not saying the Cardinals would have traded up to get him.
If they had Cliff Kingsbury as their head coach last year?
Well, maybe not. I mean, I don't know. There's so many different variables, and we already have the 13-3 in my – I already have the 13-3 in my head, so I'm jaded as it is.
Sure.
With Josh Rosen.
But I'm going to disagree with you on that, but I think that you can take the Kyler Murray out of the conversation. The only thing that Kyler Murray holds a purpose in the draft debate is if there's going to be a team that's going to want to move up for him. And the rest that can be the rest for the rest of the quarterback class. But I think it's a two-horse race. I really do. I think it's going to come down between Joey Bosa and Quinnen Williams, and whether or not Steve Keim and the Cardinals have identified, if they do stick and pick, whether they want that interior defensive lineman to really disrupt and open up passing lanes or rush lanes, or the beast pass rusher, edge rusher in Nick Bosa.
And one is sexy and one is the most boring pick in the world. And that's
I mean, he does come from Alabama.
Sure, of course. And listen.
I mean, that's a blue blood.
No. Absolutely. I'm not saying that it's the right or wrong pick either way. I'm saying that they need to determine if they don't take Nick Bosa, or say San Francisco wants to move up to number one and take him and give away the house. They have some picks to give up. They need to determine if they're willing to put all of their cheese into one basket with Quinnen Williams, who we don't know what Quinnen Williams, like the interior lineman position is so difficult, and they will be drafting for position of need a Darko Milicic potentially instead of a position of talent.
No, I mean,
which is Nick Bosa.
It's not necessarily a position of need. It's a position.
Well, they need interior linemen.
Sure, but it's also a position of importance in the NFL. Dominating the line of scrimmage is so important. When you look at the Super Bowl, when you looked at the AFC and the NFC championship games, it was just littered with four teams that dominate the point of attack on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. And in order to do that, you need playmakers. You need guys on the interior defensive line like Aaron Donald, like Ndamukong Suh, like what the Patriots feature, like who the Saints feature, like who the Chiefs feature. I mean, you need those guys, those space movers, like Quinnen Williams. You need those maulers.
Agreed. It is no bigger of a bust when you take a lineman and it doesn't work.
Right.
Because at least with receiver, well, he showed flashes. Nobody saw this coming. Or quarterback didn't translate to the NFL game. We didn't see it coming. Edge rusher, normally edge rushers aren't busts, at least recently in the top of drafts. And that's not an absolute statement. Don't come at me with that. But Nick Bosa, and you said this, and we'll talk about this on the other side of the break. You've said this more than anybody that I know, and it's true. Do you trust Steve Keim judging talent? And we'll talk about that more, about Quinnen Williams and Nick Bosa on the other side. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock, Locked On Cardinals. Welcome back, Locked On Cardinals. We're actually getting into a little bit more draft talk than I thought we would this, because there's so much more to talk about, but there's little nuanced conversations that we're having that are really important, especially at this stage when before free agency starts and when you're actually kind of breaking down the potential draft picks the Cardinals could take. So Quinnen Williams, I asked Bo, I'm like, you know, Bo has said more than anybody, rightfully so, that, or asked the question, posed the question.
This kills you.
Do you trust Steve Keim?
Right.
Do you trust Dick? Do you trust Steve Keim grading talent?
Right.
And Steve Keim is a big boy. Mm-hmm. Steve Keim's knows linemen, okay? But.
Does he?
At least you would think at this point that he's still a general manager.
That's one of his. He doesn't.
But look,
he doesn't know
but
how
look,
to identify.
Okay, no. Okay, and listen, I will give him the benefit of the doubt because you have to at this point.
Mm-hmm.
The Justin Pugh and Andre Smith. Justin Pugh too much money. Andre Smith not that much. It was a last ditch effort because remember yesterday you said at least they're signing people now instead of at the end when all the scraps needed to be picked up.
Well,
when everybody got what they wanted already.
What I was saying was Steve Keim was playing to one of his strengths, his few strengths that people have a little confidence left in Steve Keim is identifying veteran talent to bring in. Guys who he can kick the tires on, and he has a track record, and it usually comes around training camp. It usually happens in June, July, and August, but he just happens to there were a trio of free agents who hit the open market. He had the spending flexibility to do it, and he went out and he did it. I didn't necessarily think that, you know, it was just something that he was getting out of the way early. He just had an opportunity. It presented itself.
But it's a different tactic than he's experienced.
It is different
in the last couple seasons.
But I think that we need to separate two things here. Is Steve Keim does have the ability to identify, look at the tape from players that have played in the league,
right,
guys that have a track record, and then guys who are coming from the college level. He has not shown the ability as far as the college prospects and seeing their games translate to the NFL
That's
level.
That's exactly my point.
Okay.
There it is.
Okay.
So to answer between one of the two, it's Nick Bosa is the easier choice. Why would you have Steve Keim make the decision to take Quinnen Williams based on the fact that he doesn't have a good track record with judging that kind of talent coming out of college. And you try and bring in a defensive tackle. Mm-hmm. There are a lot on the market this offseason.
Yeah.
Guys, you know, guys all up and down the gambit of talent level and money requests.
Right.
So that's why I would, you That'd know, remove from that.
Yeah, it is interesting. And I hope that if they are identifying, if they are going to target a defensive lineman, that they already have, you know, whatever goes into being, to getting a free agent. Whether it's creating packages and spreadsheets and one sheets and, you know, just pitches for the Arizona Cardinals, that they have, okay, defensive line, we want to go after this guy. Linebacker, we want to go after this guy. Offensive line, we've got these three guys, and we have a plan, and we're going to go right after.
Right.
12-01, March 13th.
Because all we've said is the draft needs to be the most stress-free part of this process.
Sure. And, you know, the benefit of the NFL is now, I mean, we've even seen it so far kind of bear some fruit as far as getting a trio of players that you think can contribute in 2019, even before free agency.
Right.
I mean, I think that when you go 3-13 and you just have a talent depleted roster, that it just gives you an opportunity to get better, even like just kind of get ahead of things, right? It's not immediately making an impact on wins and losses, but it's a head start of sorts.
Right.
But I want to get back to this conversation, and I think there's an interesting just part of the Nick Bosa, Quinnen Williams debate. And I was playing a little bit of devil's advocate for Quinnen Williams.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't know. My mind's not entirely made up. But this does play, at least in my mind, a factor of the last couple of years, the San Francisco 49ers have swung and missed on rebuilding their defensive line. Solomon Thomas has not exactly been...
And he was a home run.
Right. Armstead... It was Eric Armstead.
Yeah, Eric. I thought I wanted to say Anthony, but yes, Eric.
Not exactly, you know, killing it as far as defensive linemen. Mm-hmm. They missed on Reuben Foster in the linebacking corps, but more so the defensive line. They covet, and if the reports are true, they covet Nick Bosa.
Okay.
If you do like Quinnen Williams,
uh-huh.
I mean, do you really just gift wrap to a division rival Nick Bosa?
I mean, it depends on what the package is.
You don't want to make it to where it's no package, where you're just like, ah, we like Quinnen Williams. We're going to just take him. Then you're just gift wrapping at number two the guy that the 49ers have coveted for so long.
Catastrophic mistake.
Yeah.
That'd be catastrophic. And I think that what I've been trying to sell, which is unsellable, I mean, it's like selling a 1987 Oldsmobile for $100,000. It's just people aren't going to buy it, is... The Cardinals want Kyler Murray, and then people have to trade up to get him. I say that almost in jest because it's so far out of the realm of possibility that it's probably not going to happen. But Nick Bosa, you got to make people come for him. If at number one, nobody tries to trade up to get him, you take Nick Bosa. You have to. That is a surefire you must take. But if somebody offers you a package, I think you... as quickly, consider it if it's good, and trade out of it. I think you let the other people, that's what comes with the power. Even though it seems like it's not being in the driver's seat when somebody offers you a package and you take it, you have all the power to determine where the draft starts immediately. And I think that that's important. You do not take Quinnen Williams with the number one overall pick. You don't do it. You take best available and not need that high. You just do. At 4 or 5, it's more of a 60-40-50-50 split.
What if Quinnen Williams comes in and he puts up like 35-40 reps in the bench press, which would be just manimal numbers? He puts up high speed, you know, for his position on the 40, and, you know, he does the cone drill, and he's just a monster. What if he's just a physical monster?
One of my fallacies, one of my faults is... revisionist history, where Jonathan Cooper, Robert Kamdiche, even though Robert Kamdiche fell in their lap, they didn't want to take him, but he dropped all the way down to the end of the first round, so they had to take him at the number they got him at. What was it, 26 or 27? I can't remember.
I think it was 29.
29. Mm-hmm. So it was all the way at the end. Oh, yeah, obviously, because that was the year after. I just don't trust Steve Keim. And that's really what it comes down to. And listen, this is something that I have to work through.
The idiot-proof draft strategy.
Keep it simple.
Keep it simple, stupid.
Unless.
Take Nick Bosa.
Unless. And this is something, because I was, and for those that, this is a jump around time for us. And as Bo said.
Like House of Pain?
I haven't, I have not.
That's the most made a decision yet. Jump around.
Well, I know. I didn't want to crack my voice. I did it with my hands. I haven't made my decision yet on what I think.
Sure.
These are all just jumping around bubbles. Just.
Well, there's so many days left before the Cardinals are officially on the clock.
Right.
You know.
Well, free agency, like I'm telling, like so many things happen before that.
And if you just kind of look at recent history, I mean, outside of Mitchell Trubisky being traded up for on draft day, the number two pick with the Bears and the, mm-hmm. and the Niners.
They gave away so
much. But for the most
so
part,
much.
Those, especially if it's a quarterback-hungry team, we've seen that those teams, whether it's for Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, most of those teams, they do it early in the offseason. They'll make those deals in March.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we could be breaking down, you know, the Cardinals maybe, you know, drafting sixth or seventh. And we've got a whole different group of prospects that we're looking at
sure.
now.
You know? I mean, and you got to think, and this is because Miami's so low, and I've talked about this before, and we'll go to break here in a minute, but I wish Miami was like 8. Because if they wanted to draft Kyler Murray.
Where would they be if they didn't have the Miami Miracle?
I mean, the Chargers would probably have been in the Super Bowl because they wouldn't have had to play the Patriots. The whole thing messed up because of that game.
Wow.
You know, that's a hot take. Hot take.
Right.
Shout out to John Gennaro for that. Don't be, you know what?
Is that right?
Well, they would have played Kansas City, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because the Patriots would have had, it doesn't matter how it would have played out, they would have gone to Kansas City.
Miami would have been a 6-10 team. I mean, that's still.
It moves them up.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it makes things a little bit more impossible. Just a little bit more.
A little bit. All right. On the other side, I'm going to talk to you about something that I just thought of that could potentially happen what Bo says actually comes to fruition. Next on Locked On Cardinals. Wrapping up here, Locked On Cardinals, Alex Clancy, Bo Brock, about to go off the rails. So, not really about to go off the rails. This is a little bit more tame. So, say San Francisco wants the number one overall pick. They want Nick Bosa.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they offer a first next year and a second this year to get him, which is a package that the Cardinals would most likely take.
Oh, yeah.
I would think.
No
doubt. So you get the number two this year.
You would do it, right?
You would do it.
No, I would do it in a heartbeat.
Now, this is where it gets interesting. What if somebody tries to take that number two pick away from the Cardinals, too? Because this is where things, because once you don't have the number one overall pick, everything's up for grabs. So, I mean, there are certain things where the Cardinals could. We've seen crazy things happen with a team moving up. Look at what Buffalo did last year.
Right. Let me just give you the baseline as far as moving up in the top five or the top three. The Bears moved up from 3-2 to the Niners to pick Mitchell Trubisky. This is the baseline. They swap picks,
mm-hmm.
2 for 3, 3 for 2, whatever. They get a third-round pick, and then they get a fourth-round pick. And then another third-round pick in the next draft. So 2 third-round picks and a fourth-round pick. Do you do that?
No.
You don't do that?
For Nick Bosa?
Yeah.
No.
I would do it.
You got to do fuel to the fire. If you want him, you got to come get him.
When you're 3-13... I mean, I honestly believe, yeah, Jimmy G would have been a big impact on the Niners. They probably don't go 4-12, but what do they go, 6-10?
Yeah, no, we're missing one thing. We're missing one big thing. The difference here is that who was the number two pick at that point? I don't even remember.
As far after
last year.
Oh,
who gave Chicago the number two pick?
Oh, San Francisco.
Okay, San Francisco wasn't going to draft a quarterback, so they were taking little pennies.
Mm-hmm.
To move back one pick. I mean, it wasn't like they were taking, oh, you're going to give us this? I mean, I'm sure that there were people that had talked about moving into San Francisco, moving up there, but nobody knew Trubisky. Nobody knew that was going to be the move.
Right.
So somebody probably offered a third and a fourth to move up from 4 to 2 or what have you, move up a couple picks. Chicago gave him an extra third rounder. This is a guy that's coveted by everybody. Right. But I'm saying that if just to give a little bit more than some other team that wanted to maybe move up last year, we don't know who else was in the running. But they knew that Jimmy Garoppolo was – that they weren't going to take a quarterback, San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco knows that the Cardinals will take Nick Bosa if they don't move up to take him. So they will have to give way more of a king's ransom
so
than that to move up.
So you take 34? I mean, if San Francisco says, we'll swap first-round picks,
yeah,
and we'll give you the second pick in the second round at 34 – so you would have 33 and 34. Do you do that deal?
I would take a first in the next year. You have to.
You're not moving. You're standing pat. You want a first.
First and a second. Because Bo, if they want him, they will pay it. If they want him that bad, they will pay it. This is where the power comes into play.
See, if I'm the Cardinals and I've got as many holes as they do, and you can get, I mean, you can do a lot of work with, you know, the second pick overall.
Agreed.
And then the first pick in the second round and the second pick in the second round,
if you wanted
to get like the best offensive lineman,
yeah, you could
still trade that second overall pick. I mean, I just think Nick Bosa to me, and what we've kind of discussed throughout this podcast is Nick Bosa is probably the best prospect and the guy that the Cardinals would pick number one if they stick and pick,
mm-hmm.
But they could absolutely do more and help themselves out a lot better if they trade those picks, if they trade that pick.
I understand.
They have way more needs than just an edge rusher.
But you have the complete and absolute ability to be irrational and greedy with the number one pick. You need to make people. Do you think that Tennessee.
Do you feel like they're doing a good job of that?
We don't know yet.
I mean, from where we are right now. Do you feel like they're doing a decent job?
Regarding what?
As far as making it the optics of Nick Bosa that the Cardinals are making it like they covet him. Like he's the guy.
No.
Do you think they need to do a better job?
I think it's too early.
Like going forward.
I don't think it matters what people say now.
Okay.
Honestly, I don't. I mean, it's the combine's going to be important.
Don't start playing your hand yet.
Right. And I think this is keeping it tight to the vest now, fantastic.
Okay.
This is what you do because
I was just curious about it. I didn't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I would assume that you agree with me, but I don't know.
I'm kind of indifferent. I don't know. I think
it's too early. I just think it's too early.
Did you agree with what Steve Keim told the flagship station about he likes the speculation about Kyler Murray? Do you think that that's part of a smokescreen?
I mean, I think he just answered honestly.
Okay.
I mean, I think that relevancy for the Cardinals is a beautiful thing,
mm-hmm.
whether it be just through the draft before the season starts or if it bleeds into the season. If somebody wants Nick Bosa, they need to pay for it. And I don't think you need to give a discount just because you want to get as many picks as you can this draft. I mean, I think this is where you can be the total a-hole and you can just say, you know what? Give me the RG3 package, baby. You know, give me the Marcus Mariota package. Because look at what's happened. I mean, I guess RG3 not so much, but look at the Marcus Mariota package.
If his leg didn't explode.
No. I'm saying the picks that the Rams got for him.
There were a couple guys playing in the Super Bowl that were from that.
They got, how many picks did they get? You know better than me.
Six.
They got six picks.
Why are you making me go down
there? Oh, no. It's not about that. It's not about that. I like to shame Bo for being a DC sports fan, too. On that note, we'll talk more about this tomorrow because this is a fluid situation. Well, you know what? We'll start with that. Should the Cardinals now be parading around taking one guy to get other teams guessing and formulating a plan for the package they need to put together to move up if they want to get Nick Bosa? That's tomorrow, Locked On Cardinals. Alex and Bo, we'll talk to you then.